worship you. Just a few more sentences. Just say it. Tell him, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. Oh, God, I worship you. Pull it from the depths of your being. Tell him tonight that you love him. Oh, hallelujah, that he's worthy. Oh, yes, that you can't live without him, and you don't want to. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we worship. We worship you, Jesus. 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 Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship. Oh, we worship. Yes, we worship. Oh, we worship you.
Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus.
worship you, God. Worship you. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus.
In my word, you will find the answer, or the way to find the answer to every situation you face in life. There is nothing you will ever face that you cannot find the answer for in my word. I've given you my word to help you. My word is guidance for your life. Far too many of my children are walking aimlessly in life, doing their best to come up with the right answers, the right decisions, the right ideas, but they're doing it on their own. My word is your answer. Too many of my children dismiss my word. They don't take it seriously. They don't get into my word and realize that they are feeding their spirit with my life. I say to you, there are those, even in this room, we have many questions. You feel confused at times. You wonder, God, what am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do? And yet you're not spending enough time in my word to receive the answers that you need. The more you get into my word is the more that you are conditioning your spirit to receive the direction from me that you need. My word is a written version of my life. In my word, you will find the answers to everything you need. If you will get into my word and read it, and read it, and read it, and sow it into your heart, the day will come, you will be reading a passage, and all of a sudden, you'll see the answer in what you're reading. My word is a treasure chest of my will. Please understand me. There is no reason for a child of mine to be living in any form of confusion. My word will supply to you what you need. In my word, I have given the revelation of what is necessary to receive answers and how to apply them to your life. I have given you my word to help you make it through this life. And know this, the Holy Spirit will always move within the structure of my word. He will always speak within the structure of my word. So I encourage you, get into my word. Read it and read it and read it. When you open it, declare unto me, Father, I open my heart and my mind to receive from your word what you want me to receive. Read it. Listen to it. For it is a guide for your life. If you'll do this, so many of the questions that you've had will be answered. Many of my children wonder why I seem to be so silent, and yet my word is always speaking. So get into my word, receive it, and receive the answers that you're seeking. I will minister to you and lead you into the fullness of all I desire for your life. But you must get into my word. My word contains the victories you need to see manifested in your life. Walk in my word, and you will walk in my will, and you will walk in victory, says the Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you. Father, I pray for all of us in this room, those watching and those hearing this. Father, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Our spirits, our born again spirits, desire your word. May we not quench that. May we yield to it, Father. May we recognize the hunger in our spirit for more of your word. And then, Father, may we feast in your word to receive everything that you have promised, everything that you have just spoken to us. And I thank you for that. Bless your name. Thank you. Thank you, God, for this word. And Father, I know some people may think this is a little strange, but I thank you for a man named Gutenberg who invented the printing press to make it possible for your word to be printed and distributed to the masses throughout the world. Thank you. So Father, in this place tonight, we lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up the name of our miracle worker, and we say, your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I don't know why you're sitting. You can't shake many hands when you're sitting. Rise and commence to shaking. Hallelujah.
Mansion bright.
And I know I'll live in one someday.
Beautiful sights there to behold, beautiful gates and streets of gold.
I will have a beautiful home someday.
risen bride.
And I know I'll live in one someday.
Beautiful sights there to behold, beautiful gates and streets of gold.
I will have a beautiful home someday.
Beautiful home of pure delight, beautiful home of mansion bride.
And I know I'll live in one someday.
Beautiful sights there to behold, beautiful gates and streets of gold.
I will have a beautiful home someday.
Beautiful home of pure delight, beautiful home of a mansion bride.
And I'll live in one someday.
Beautiful sights there to behold, beautiful gates and streets of gold.
I will have a beautiful home someday.
Beautiful home of pure delight, beautiful home of a mansion bride. Gates and streets of gold.
I will have a beautiful home someday.
Beautiful home of pure delight, beautiful home of a mansion bride.
I'll live in one someday.
Beautiful sights to behold, beautiful gates and streets of gold.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with God. Saves from the chastening rod, seek the way pilgrims trod, Christian the way.
Jesus is coming soon,
morning or night or noon.
Many will meet their doom,
trumpets will sound. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore, when we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, over me then shall fly, glory to share.
Lord Jesus is coming soon,
morning or night or noon. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore, when we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising
Well, I'll tell you what, those old hymns, they still pack a punch. Praise God. Well, I think tonight, dear brother Gary Carpenter is going to teach us more about that famous Italian prophet Malachi. Brother Gary, come up and teach us, huh?
It is now. I got the green light. Well, I fully intended to teach more about the Italian prophet Malachi. And we were really busy this afternoon. It was wonderful fellowship. Pastor Dave always said about the conferences that we held in Tulsa, he said, don't plan on doing any fasting that week. Do your fasting and your prayer really ahead of time. Invest in the people, because many of them are like living on desert islands. They have no fellowship where they live. And they're starving for, you know, families thrive on fellowship. And so we used to make a joke about it. It's almost not exactly law, but during conference, there is no prayer, no fasting, and very little sleep. But that's good. It's a good thing. And to have the brethren dwell together in unity. So we had I've got a Keurig in my room, so people like to get a little fresh coffee. So we had a room full of people right up until about the time to come. And during that, Barry texted me and asked if I had a title for tonight. To be honest, I would have said Malachi. He may or may not get us into Malachi again. So I said, I just answered back. I said, sorry, dude. And he answered back, great title. But then I had a little time just driving over here and getting quiet. And the way the Lord uses me now, He lets me prepare a lot of sermons I never get to preach. And I have a great one for tonight, I think. But see, I'm just not in charge. I'm just not in charge. So I heard the title, and I'm going, Lord, I hope you have a message to go with that. And the prayer center people that are here, Tulsa prayer center people, you're all prayer center people. The prayer center is like the mothership, and we're all like the satellites, you know. But the title is After the Wall of Fire. After the Wall of Fire. Now, let me give you a little history for some of you that may not know exactly what I mean by the Wall of Fire. John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to loose the shoe latchet of the one that is coming. I have baptized you with water. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I'd have to go back and see exactly when. I may ask Joan to help me on that, or Derek, to find out when the Lord first used that phrase, wall of fire, at the prayer center. But I'm thinking it must have been around 2019 or thereabouts, maybe a little before, I'm not sure. Because in my prayer time, just doing what we've been taught, I saw this wall of fire. At the time, I didn't know how thick it was. What I could see was that it was from the ground up, as far you couldn't go over this thing. And looking to the left, there was no end as far as I could see. It just disappeared over the horizon. And looking to the right, there would just disappeared again on that horizon. My ear keeps trying to escape from the bondage tonight. But just keep, anyway, we'll do okay. So there was, I knew right then, I said, okay, there's a season coming that if we're going to go forward, there is no avoiding this wall of fire. And we're about to go into a purging time. And right after I kind of saw that and we sort of entered is when really the what we call the blueprint prophecies began. And most of you, I hope, are familiar with what we call the blueprint. Most of those prophecies came, original ones anyway, came through Pastor Bronk. And the subsequent prophecies have continued, and then he's used other people in the process. Now, that season of going through the fire, this is a purging process regarding the flesh. False doctrine. Fleshly habits. Some of them sin. Some of them just non-productive branches. Somebody said today, sap stealers. They're just, tomato plants are like that. If you grow tomato, I'm not a great person with, but I know tomato plants develop suckers. And they suck the sap, but they don't ever produce any fruit. And you got to cut away the suckers. And the more you do that, usually the more, the better and the juicier the fruit that is produced. Well, we talked about God's pruning some in the first service of this conference. But we've been going through that for years. And Tim set up a prayer schedule at the prayer center. Now, this was not the only prayer that we did. But on a formal basis, those that wanted to come, it was like a minimum. I don't mean it like that. And a lot of people have jobs, and a lot of people couldn't come during the day. But for those that could, it was like Wednesday from 8 in the morning, or actually, no, it was 7 in the morning. It changed it to 7 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. Come and pray all you can. Friday, the same thing, roughly from 7 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. And Saturday morning from 7 till noon. And we also had, they had an intercession, a group of intercessors who would get together and pray over specific needs. Now, I just got to tell you, even in a church the size that we had at the time at the prayer center, and people being taught for years about it, there were precious few that came for those prayer sessions. But I find it interesting that every person that's here from the Tulsa Prayer Center were faithful to those prayer times. Now, not all of them could come. There are others. See, now, during that season, I can't speak for other people. I can only speak for myself. It's a purging time. Yes, sir. Okay. I know what. I just got to see how he wants to say it. Yes, sir. Are you? Okay. You want me to say it or you want to say it? For you will always have this war with the flesh until that day that you receive the glorified body or you come home before my return. You will always on a daily basis have this war with the flesh. For such was the war with my son while he was in the flesh on planet Earth. But the season, that season of purging, says the Lord, as I spoke to my servants, has now, the emphasis has changed from the purging of the flesh to taking dominion over devils. The war truly has shifted. You still must deal with the flesh, and what has been purged must remain purged, and there will be even more purging as you continue. But the emphasis has now changed. And I speak to you that have emerged from the wall of fire, says the Lord. I saw this coming. See, I couldn't see when I first saw it, I couldn't see how, I didn't know what, was this a day, a week, what? I didn't know. The season of this wall of fire. I just could see to the left and the right and the height. But then we got into it. I didn't know it was going to last for years. And it did last for years. And it, until I heard the message that Bronk delivered on that Wednesday night, and it's the same message he delivered last night, about the war has shifted, I didn't realize we had really emerged, come out of that wall of fire. Now, again, I have to keep emphasizing. I love how Bronk says it. Don't trust your flesh until you've been in heaven already 30 minutes. Now, we know there's no flesh goes to heaven, but you get the point of that. And Paul, again, we all reference Paul. The Apostle Paul, he says, I myself, I have to keep under my body, lest I become a castaway. And that word, that Greek word castaway, if you look it up, you'll find out it's the same exact Greek word in Romans 1, where it talks about God turning them over to a reprobate mind. Reprobate, castaway. He's talking about burning in hell. Paul himself, after all he had done, says, I myself. Now, if you have an issue with that, take it up with Paul. He's the one that chose, well, actually, take it up with the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost that chose that word so we could not mistake the severity of it. Paul himself, after all he had done, he says, I myself could wind up still becoming a castaway, a reprobate, to wind up in hell forever. See, I had some funny things I was going to tease Bronk with, but I don't feel like that's appropriate at this hour. So, it's amazing to me how the Holy Spirit will direct your path and do things for you that you're unaware that He's doing, preparing ahead of time for things He sees coming up in your path. For example, we're here for the conference, and I thought it went pretty well the first night that I spoke, and I enjoyed that service on Malachi, Malachi. I really thought we would pick up with it again tonight. I don't know, but that's not His mind for tonight. I started looking through my Bible. How many know it's good to look through your Bible? I don't dare come to Jim Martin's church without a printed Bible. Now, I've got like 8 Bibles on this phone. No, sir, not at Dr. Jim Martin's church. I'm bringing a biblical, a written, printed biblical. Hallelujah. Bear with me. And I had some papers. You know how you just fold them up after a service or something, you'll just put them in there. And I thought, well, I wonder. So I started looking at these and reading them. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely the hand of God and His preparation ahead of time for me and for you for this conference that I would have these available in this sequence for tonight's service. I don't even know how long they've been in there. The date is 2021. These are fairly short. And he... Joan, if you want to include these, or Derek, whoever's doing this, these are already part of the library. But this first one is PT 210815. So that's August 15th, 2021. The title is you will see the King. Now, this is fairly short, but please stretch yourself, move around, be at attention. Listen to this. Fear not, little flock, fear not. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I have loved you and I love you still. You have sought me for years, asking for the highest walk, and I am doing my best to lift you up to that very place. So yield to me, now listen, even in these last things, as you are nearing the end of the wall of fire. I had forgotten it too. Sorry. Kathy's mouth just went. I've forgotten that. I know I had seen it. I mentioned it from the pulpit at the church. I said, we'd been in this for years, this purging process and just dealing with the flesh. And it wasn't just doctrine. It was other things. And well, what were they? They were none of your business or none of you. I'm not going to ask about your... See, when the gold is purified and put in the fire and the dross comes to the top, the black stuff, the ugly stuff, well, what do you do with the dross? Don't you just scoop it off and fling it away? Doesn't matter what it was. My dross is going to be different than your dross anyway. Let's not focus on the dross. Let's go forward with the gold. Amen. Let me finish. Let me read that sentence again. It just astounded me when I found this in my... I'm going, oh my goodness. He was already telling us. See, this is 2021. We had no idea that the building was going to be closed in June of the following year. We had no idea that other things were going to happen, that Pastor Dave would be going home in January of 2022. We didn't know any of that. He did. And he was preparing us ahead of time. So I'm going to pick it up. There's just a few. He said, yield to me even these last things. And yes, sir. See, right there I saw the first night's message when I was talking about the loppers. Even though you're bearing fruit, didn't Jesus say the Father's going to come that you bear more fruit? He's going to prune you. So I use the example of like, you know, these 3-foot loppers, you know, that you lop off limbs from the plant's point of view. Oh, here comes the Father. I've been looking forward to seeing the Father. You're just this nice vine producing fruit. Here the Father's coming. Oh, hello, Father. What do you got in your hands? And he's got these 3-foot loppers and he's coming right for you. And he starts pointing out things that's got to go if you're going to bear more fruit. But see, I told you he'll never take away your free will. He will never lop those off. The purpose of the Holy Ghost, just like Pastor Dave told us all the way back at the beginning, he will show you the dirt in the attic. You remember that analogy? You know, when you start praying in the Holy Ghost and you feel worse than before, it's because he's showing you the dirt in the attic. He's showing you the stuff that's in there, that's the dross that's got to go. But see, he'll always ask your permission. That's why he says it this way. So yield to me, even in these last things. You have to say, okay, Father, you can prune that. Fruit Loops and potato chips are gone. So some of us really like potato chips more than others. I didn't know. So when he says yield to me, if you're still in the wall of fire, you're still in the purging process. He's asking, yield to me. Those things that I show you during this time, yield to me, which means go ahead, prune it off. Whatever it is, and it's mainly things to do with the flesh. It doesn't even have to be sin. Suckers on a tomato plant are not sin. They just waste the sap. See? They're never going to produce fruit. Let's get rid of them. So yield to me even these last things as you are nearing the end of the wall of fire, doesn't mean we won't have to deal with the flesh, nearing the end of the purging, coming into the manifesting, coming into the manifesting. You're not hearing him. We're coming into the manifestation of Jesus Christ, manifested in our mortal body. We are delivered all the way to death. Why? That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. Before we get our glorified ones, be manifested in these. That's why the purging. You're nearing the end of the purging, coming into the manifesting where it is true. Soon and very soon. Now, I don't know what soon and very soon means to a being who lives outside of time. But he said, soon and very soon, in every service, at your homes, and even at your businesses, you will see the King. You will see the King. And he's talking about manifestation. Hallelujah. Well, that was August 15th. August 22nd, another one came. And it's PT, Joan, PT-21-08-22B. PT 21-08-22B, August 22nd, 2021. This one is called, the title of this one is, Your Mind Will Bow to My Knowledge. You're listening. I am moving you from knowledge to power. We could just dance and sing the rest of the conference. Is that not our heart? Is that not what we've been after? I'm moving you from knowledge to power, says the Lord. I am moving you from theory to reality. We've had conversations about that very thing. We can all preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can all tell the revelation. We can all tell the doctrine. We can all preach it. But very few of us can manifest it. But see, we all found out years ago through Pastor Dave. And see, the revival, the mark is where Jesus put it, not where the church has put it. The mark is they all get healed. First time. Every time. No exceptions. And we have refused to lower that mark. And we're pressing towards that one and no other. Isn't that right? We've all got the theory. When I say theory, we've all got the doctrine. We've all got the information. We can all preach healing. We can all do that. But we've had very limited success on demonstration. But he says, I'm moving you from theory to reality. I love this next sentence. I am moving you from an earthly understanding of divine things to a divine understanding of earthly things. I can't wait to hear after Dr. Jim has a while to chew on that one. Let me read that one again. I am moving you from an earthly understanding of divine things to a divine understanding of earthly things. You're going to start seeing things from His perspective and not yours. From how God, the divine, sees everything, not how man perceives everything. And even a born-again man that has not been renewed. I was going to go to Malachi, do a review, go back to Romans 12:1, because that would be review. But tonight's message was going to be the second verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That was going to be the message tonight. Because that's part of offering your body a living sacrifice when you go to prayer, when you go to fasting and all of those things. And it's a wonderful message. He may let me preach it yet. We'll see. But he's doing the same thing. But he's doing it through a whole different way than I thought. I'm going to read that sentence one more time. I am moving you from an earthly understanding of divine things to a divine understanding of earthly things. One more paragraph. You shall enter into my rooms where I shall fellowship with you, and your soul is about to go through a transformation unlike anything you have ever seen before. Even your natural mind is going to yield and begin thinking according to the instruction of my spirit, and your mind will bow to my knowledge and stop surrendering to yours. This was in my Bible. I don't know how long it's been in there just for this conference. Isn't the timing perfect with the message that came forward yesterday and this morning? And Jim's. It's perfect. It's perfect. I hope you're okay with this. Got one more. This one's longer. Joan, this is PT 2108-22A, August 22nd, 2021. Transformation from unbelief to belief. Now see, our foundational verse is usually John 14, verse 12. For years I have misquoted it. The works that he did shall we do also, and greater than these shall we do, because he's gone to the Father. But that's a misquote. Because the first part of it says, those that believe on me. He didn't say those that have knowledge of me. So it's obvious to us, obvious by the fruit or lack thereof, that what we think believing is not what he thinks believing is. Amen? And it's so amazing to me, like he knew I was going to teach on Malachi. Like I was going to listen to how this follows up. I was weary with Israel and how they refused to repent and return to me. They were worshiping idols. They had gone so far as to bring the idols, the pagan gods who were not gods, works of men's hands made out of stone and wood, and they brought them into my house. They brought them into the temple to bow down before that which is not God. And they did it in my face. And I did become weary, and I sent prophet after prophet after prophet, for they had not the Holy Ghost as you have, in order to report to them my displeasure. Report to them what was coming, and report to them about the judgment. And my heart was, maybe they will hear my prophets. Maybe they will hear and repent. There were seasons of repentance, but they would lapse back into the same again. And finally, judgment could no longer be spared. I can almost feel his heart right here. And I loved my bride, Israel. Yet she gave me no choice. The sin of the church today, my bride, in some camps it is similar to that. But in this camp, now talking to us at the prayer center, in this camp it is unbelief. Those of you who have endured the purging time, here we go again, Those of you that have endured the purging time have walked much more narrowly before me. And I am greatly pleased with that, says the Lord. I think all of us could testify one by one that our walk after the purging is much more narrow than it was when it started. He says, you should be greatly pleased also. He's talking about the narrower walk. Because it has spared you. It has spared you from the kind of judgment that Israel had to endure. But beyond, there is a higher walk that I am calling you to. And I am calling you to the walk of my son Jesus. To allow him to live his life through you. For he truly is the vine, and you are the branch. But the fruit cannot appear on the vine without the branch. See, as I read that now, I saw in my mind Jim telling the vision that he had, where there were a group of people. I don't remember every detail, but there was a group of people, and Jim is in there in the room, and Jesus is standing right beside him. And Jesus is telling Jim, go pray for this one. Now go pray for that one. Now go pray for that one over there. And Jim would do whatever it was. Lay hands on this one. Speak to that one, whatever it was. That's Jesus living his life through you. And I'll tell you right now, that is precisely the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because we have not been left orphans. To have to find our own way to guess what to do every day. He says he will guide you into all truth and he will show you things to come. Or your intimacy with the Holy Spirit is even going to become much more than it is today. And mine included. Me also. So he says, I am calling you to the walk of my son Jesus to allow him to live his life through you. He said it to me one time like this. And it's a long time ago. I'm still looking forward to the manifestation of it. He told me years ago, he says, talking to me personally, he says, I have not called you to minister to the people yourself. I have called you to become a vessel through whom I can minister to the people myself. And there is a tremendous difference in those two thoughts. Better read it again. There is a higher walk that I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to the walk of my son Jesus. To allow him to live his life through you. For he truly is the vine and you are the branch. But the fruit cannot appear on the vine without the branch. I am calling you now to this season of transformation. This season of transformation now to go from unbelief to belief. And let me stop again because my job is to follow the pictures, okay? How many of you know if... A few years ago, through another minister, the Holy Ghost said to Gary Carpenter, humble yourself. And when you think you can't humble yourself anymore, then humble yourself some more. Now that sentence, that phrase, is one of the things that kept me going diligently to those seasons of prayer. And even seasons of fasting. I've done more fasting in the last few years than I've done probably all my Christian life before. It's not near what he wants. And there's going to be more. But at the beginning of this year, I was surprised to hear the exact same thing again. Humble yourself. Now, this time I heard it directly from the Holy Ghost. First time I heard it through another ministry. It was a word of the Lord to me. This time the Holy Ghost said it to me myself, directly to me. Humble yourself. And when you don't think you can humble yourself anymore, then humble yourself some more. And I really didn't know what he meant until he added this. I'm calling you now. To humble yourself to the point you believe my word. Where you actually believe it. And he's talking about whatever the kind of believing is, as John 14:12, those that believe on me. See, one time they came to Jesus, and I can't prepare these verses ahead of time to have them before you can look them up, because I don't know where he's going to go ahead of time. But he said, one time they asked him, said, what must we do that we may work the works, plural, of God? What must we do that we may work the works, plural, of God? And he answered them this way, this is the singular work of God. They wanted to know about works, but he reduced it to one. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. God has sent him into you. Greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. We have got to believe on the Christ who lives in us by the Holy Ghost. As he is, so are we in this world. And he's calling us, it's Galatians 5 right near the end of the chapter, if you have been born of the Spirit, it's time to walk by the Spirit. It's time to walk now. I am calling you now to this season of transformation, this season of transformation now, to go from unbelief to belief. Now listen to what he says. For you will believe me. What a statement from God. He says, for you will believe me. He says, I have more faith in you than you have in me. And then he says, you are my hope in the earth. If you want scripture for that, you can go to Hebrews chapter 12 where it says Jesus, he despised the shame, endured the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. He'd already said, if any seed abides alone, it's only one. But if it dies and planted in the ground, then it produces a great harvest where it's duplicated many times. Jesus hung on that cross. He says, now we live by the faith of the Son of God. You want to know the faith of the Son of God? While he was hanging there, part of it. The joy that was set before him. Yeah, they may crucify, they may extinguish this one body. I may not have this body anymore. But I will live through the bodies of millions of believers. And the works of my Father are not going to be stopped. They're going to be multiplied to go around the world. He has more faith in us. That's why he did it. If he believed in you. That you would believe this. That Christ could come to maturity in us. And the works of the Father could be done on the earth. And even the world would have to say, your God is God. Your God is God. We're not going to be another generation that delivers a powerless gospel to a world where they don't see any difference between us and them, really. They think we're a little bit weird. But they do also think our God is powerless. Well, I'm telling you right now, our God is not powerless. He has more faith in Jesus. I had trouble with that sense. See, this one came through me. Well, I had trouble with that. I didn't trust this prophet. I don't know about that Gary guy. I don't know about that. But then he had to show me, and I had time to think about it and look at it from Scripture, and I thought, if he didn't believe that about you, he would not have endured the cross. It would have been better for him to stay on earth, where at least the works of the Father could be done through one vessel. It would have been, he says, but it's expedient, it's better. It's better that I go to the Father, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit's not going to come to you. It's the Father in you that does the works. And I finally saw it. I said, he does. He has more faith in us than we do in him. If he didn't have faith in you that you would believe this, he wouldn't have done it. But he did do it. He believes that we're going to believe. What a sentence. Last paragraph. It says, I do believe you will walk in the truth of my gospel. I do believe I have found the group, not only in this building, but I have found a group of people who will believe me and allow my life to flow through you as the branch into the earth, so that those who know me, so that those who know me not cannot rear up and say, quote, the church is no better than us. The church is no different than us, end quote. They're not going to be able to say that anymore. So they cannot stand up arrogantly and say there is no God. They must see. And they must see the demonstration of the living God through you, says the Lord. Amen. I'm just amazed that those three prophecies, he had them stuck in my Bible. I don't even know for how long. Just for such a time as this, knowing that this conference would come. Now, I brought this up here because I knew that when I heard Bronk's message Wednesday night, when I first heard it, thank God you can back them up, you know. And I don't normally take notes on my phone on a message like that. I normally do it on my computer at home, and I type them out and carry them with me and that type of thing. Or just have them as like on my computer hard drive for access later. But I felt such an urgency with this one. I wanted this one on my phone. I wanted it where I could have it again, where I could pull it out and look at it. So I just got the basics here. But now, you heard all of that, right? Applying that to the message. Those were all in 2021. Preparing us for this time when the battle is switching. We've come out, to be honest with you, we have emerged from that purging season. And every time I say that, I've got to add, there will always be purging of the flesh. But that season has come to an end, and the fight has switched from flesh to demons. You've got to mature to this. You are a child of God. You are righteous at your core. And a lot of those things that are coming against you, that the devil wants you to think is you, that you're not changed, that you're still that same old sinner, that you're still that same lustful, stingy, greedy, gossipy, potato chip loving person. It's a devil. Now, he mentioned these eight demonic spirits that had been unleashed on the church. And even Bronk at the time was almost kind of arguing, going, there's more than this. I mean, but if I got it right, the Lord said something like, will you write down what I told you? Because the emphasis is these eight. I'm going to read them again for you. Number one, the spirit of infirmity. Number two, spirit of division. Number three, spirit of lust and perversion. Number four, spirits trying to bring another gospel. Now, he doesn't mean another gospel like Buddhism or Confucianism. He's talking about another gospel that names the name of Jesus. But it's another gospel. Number five, diversions. Does anyone know? Squirrel. Spirit of diversions. Occupy your time anywhere. Number six, lukewarm. Number seven, excuses. Mainly excuses why you can't get into prayer, why you can't be at church, why you can't this, you know, you can't fast, you can't read your Bible. I have excuses. And then number eight is destruction of reasonings. Okay? Now, you might as well know that I heard that message, and I've got some scripture here that he mentions. In fact, I'll just go ahead and give them to you. You might want to make note of these, or write them down later when you hear this one again. Now, there's many more scriptures than this to use. But let me just ask you, how did Jesus respond when he was attacked by the devil in the wilderness? When the fiery darts were coming at Jesus, what weapon did he use? The word of God is your shield of faith. It is your shield. Now, over in Ephesians 6, where it talks about praying always with all prayer and taking with you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that is the rhema. That is how Jesus went in and said, "Be loosed, woman. Take up thy bed and walk. Thy sins be forgiven thee." That's the sword of the Spirit, where you speak the word of God and loose the captives and set them free. But the Logos is your shield. We saw Jesus. Every fiery dart. Here comes another one. It is written. It is written. It is written. We've got to become that same way. And when you hear the fiery dart coming, or you see the fiery dart coming, however you might word that, that is not the time to go, "Wait a minute, it's time for me to go study the Word." You better have it in your heart in abundance. You better be ready. One of them was Isaiah 54:17. I'll read it to you so you know which one it is for sure. Hallelujah. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Now, I'm going to emphasize one part of this. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Say it out loud. Thou shalt condemn. Say, "I got to speak. If I don't speak, the devil wins that one." Isn't that what it says? Thou shalt condemn it. Every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Now, I had that very night, that was a Wednesday night, and I was taking these notes, and of course, in a little while, it was time for me to go to sleep, and I went to bed, and I hadn't done anything, like, I hadn't looked at anything I shouldn't look at, I hadn't done anything I shouldn't do, hadn't been anywhere. See, people say, "Well, I don't want one of those, you know, apps on my phone that tells you everywhere that I go." You wouldn't care if you don't go somewhere that you're not supposed to be. I don't care if you know where my phone goes all the time. It's not going anywhere I shouldn't be going. Okay? But anyway, that's free. That very night, I go to bed. I've been a good boy. All of a sudden, I'm trying to go to sleep, and it's like this movie begins playing in my brain. Every failure I've ever had, every time I've lost my temper yelling at somebody, every time I kick the cat, every time I cuss the car. This stuff goes 30 years back. But it just kept going on. Failures in my life, and you've never been good at this, and you've failed at that. And even bringing up current stuff. Now you don't even have a building to preach in anymore. On and on and on and on it goes. And I'll be honest with you, for a little while, I'm too slow to connect. And finally, probably was God helping me, my lightning quick mind went, "It might be a devil." And so I remembered, I sat up on the edge, I was in a separate room, and I sat up on the edge of the bed. Now Sue and I are fine. Okay, if I don't explain a sentence like that, all kinds of rumors are going to go around everywhere. Okay, I've been having leg cramps that causes me to flop the... Right now, I'm sleeping in another room so my beloved can get some sleep, okay? That's all that is. So I was able to sit up on the edge of the bed, and I said, I'm going to do this. It says, I'm supposed to condemn it. So I basically did this. "You foul devil, I know every bit of that, everything you've been showing me. That's under the blood, been confessed long ago. Every bit of it has been wiped away by the blood of Jesus. I command you, you devil, go from me in Jesus' name." And I did it almost that loud, too. And I want you to know instantly, it changed. It was a devil. It was literally, or more than one, I don't know. But it was literally sent to make me think, just get me meditating on every failure of my life and how bad it's been. And I'm not any good. I've never been any good. And I'm not going to be any good. And we're never going to have revival. But anyone ever hear those devils? Yeah. Okay. We got a few hands going up. Some honest people. See, he wants us to think that's us. Again, my job is. Yes, sir. Drink of water. What are you doing, Gary? Stalling until I make for sure what he's saying. I was going to save this for later, but it's now. Let me tell you about Gene Kreiner. Back in my real estate days when I was in my early 30s, this event that I'm about to tell you about, I was probably 32. And the reason I say that, I think it was the year before I got saved. I was 33 years old. And at this point in our life, Sue and I were involved in the real estate, and I was managing a real estate office. I had 60 real estate agents under me. I got a little part of everything they sold. And then what Sue and I sold, we were doing very well as far as finances and that kind of thing, but we were lost as we could be, just completely lost. And God had already sent Michael Muccio and starting to work on us. But we had a lady at the real estate office named Jean Kreiner. Now, I'm 32, and I'm going to tell you, this lady was ancient. No, I mean, she was old. No, I'm telling you, she was about my age now. I look at my hands right now, but if I just see my hands, I go, Grandpa, when'd you get here? When did Grandpa, Sue, Grandpa's, oh wait, that's my hand. Jean Kreiner. And boy, I'll tell you one thing. This lady, she had no fear. She had no, filter. She was a servant of the Most High God. Bless God, you were going to know it. She could empty a bullpen with her presence. We'd have all these agents in there. Jean Kreiner would walk in suddenly, everybody needs coffee. I mean, really, because she was bold, and we all learned never get in the car with Gene Kreiner. Now, I'm talking about we're lost, okay? Today, I would love to get in a car and spend a few hours with Gene Kreiner. Of course, he's already gone to be with the Lord now. But I would love it now as a Christian, but then as a sinner, if you get in a car with Gene Kreiner, God help you. God. Because she's got you captive now. She's going to go fast enough, you can't jump out. And you're going to hear about Jesus the whole time you're in there. And God's going to give her words of knowledge about stuff you've been doing. I mean, she operated in the gifts. She was just and very bold. And over, your first thing you're going to hear is the four spiritual laws. And then it just gets more bold after that. And I don't know how many times in an hour or two, you're going to be asked, are you ready yet to give your life to Jesus? Well, I'm not sure. Okay, let me tell you some more. That's Gene Kreiner. In those days, and for many years, I was prone to migraine headaches. And I would usually get one at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. They were bad enough where it literally caused tunnel vision. What I mean by that, those of you that might be old enough to remember the old Looney Tunes cartoons, and at the end of it might be Bugs Bunny or it might be Porky Pig, and if it's Bugs Bunny, it's that's all, folks, and it would go like this. My vision would go just like that down to like, and I would, if I was driving, I'd have to turn like this in order to even see how to drive. It was bad. My ear wants to escape so bad. And I was having one of those. It was during the middle of the day, and we had a big bullpen where all the agents worked and a bunch of phones, and then we had a lobby, a foyer. Did I say it okay? Close anyway. Close as an Oklahoman can say it. I was out in the foyer for the rest of us. Now, out there, we got two women on the phones, and there's a couch and a couple of chairs. You know, it's a real estate office where the people walk in. And I was sitting there. I couldn't work. I had left my office, and I was just sitting in one of the chairs like this. And, I mean, my head was pounding. And I'd have these pretty regular in those days. I'm 32 years old. Michael's working on us, but I have not yet surrendered to the Lord. And I'm not even looking up. I'm just like this. I'm just trying to survive this thing. I don't know how many aspirins I'd already popped, you know. That was before the day of anything really stronger. And Jean Kreiner comes walking by. And she says, "What's the matter, Gary?" And I said, "Oh, Jean, I've got a migraine headache. This thing is just pounding my head. I can't seem to get rid of it. So I don't even think I'm safe to drive. I've got tunnel vision, you know." I don't know what all I told her, but it was bad. And I'm kind of looking down like this, you know, and talking to her. I knew she was standing right in front of me. She says, "Well, Gary, would you mind if I prayed for you?" Now, you got to remember, I was raised Southern Baptist. When someone offers to pray for you, "Well, sure, you can pray for me." And I'm expecting when she gets home later in that day, maybe after lunch or dinner, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to pray for Gary. And, oh, dearest Lord, mayest thou forever toucheth." You know, I'm thinking some kind of little safe prayer, you know. She goes, so I said, "Jean, if you think it'll help, you just feel free to pray." That's all she needed. Next thing, I feel a hand on my head. And she's got my head. She has got my head. Okay. And she goes, with all, as loud as she could say it, right in the foyer. Right in the foyer out there. "You foul, tormenting devil, come out of him. And don't you ever come back." And she kind of took a step back and she went, "That did it." Out the door she went. The two ladies on the phone, I don't know who they had on the phone, but it was like, and I'm like, national TV, hallelujah. I love you all. I hope you love me too. This is my, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. Did I get red? Do I still get red? Okay. Oh, I love you. Anyway, she went, "That did it." Kind of went like this and just walked out the door. We're all just shocked, you know. But then I'm going, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The pain is gone. I mean, instantly. Pain is gone. Now, I was 32. I'm 76. I have never had a migraine again. It was a devil. And now, not all migraines are devils. I know that. But see, Jean's walk with the Holy Ghost was enough. You got to know the difference. She knew. Somehow, her walk with God was to the point. Her relationship with the Holy Spirit, she knew this was the devil. It's not always. That one sure was. I mean, if you haven't had another one from age 32 to 76, pretty sure that was the devil. My God, thank you, Jesus. Now, that's what he's calling us to do. Yes. See, he's turning us now. The reason for the purging is so we can bear more fruit. And now is not a time to pray less. Now is a time to press in even more. Because without those dead limbs, what these things he's been purging all this time, you're going to be able to hear him better than you've ever heard him. You're going to be able to understand his mind better than you've ever understood his mind. He's growing us up to the image of Christ. No longer blown around by every wind of doctrine. No longer just confined to the gifts, although the gifts are great. Thank God for the gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts, but yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that is, what do we call that chapter? 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. And he's growing us up into love. So I truly believe we've come to the end for this season. There might be another wall of fire down the road that I don't know about. But for this season, the battle has shifted. Okay, yes, sir. We're almost done. I want to give you these other verses. So that first one was Isaiah 54, verse 17. Now, some of these are so familiar that one of them is Matthew 4, 4. When the devil's tempting you to do stuff, answer with this. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." If the devil's saying do this and God says don't do that, don't do that. Okay? Father knows best. Matthew 4, 7. This is what Jesus used. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." That's when he's trying to get him to jump off the pinnacle. Remember that at the temple? Matthew 4, 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get ready to say this. "Get thee hence, Satan," or you could say, "Get thee behind me, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve." I will not bow. I will not bow. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity." This is something you have to do. "Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." God, I want to kill them. Pray for them. Remember that time I told him, "God, I want them to die and I want to do the killing." And he says, "Pray for them." God, pray for them. But pray for them. What'd you do? Prayed for them. And I didn't like it one little bit. And I told him I didn't like it. But I said, "I'm doing it out of sheer obedience to you. I don't like it. I don't like that you want me to pray for them, but I'm praying for them because you said to." And all I could muster at the time was, "Okay, bless them. Jesus' name. Bye." That tiny little bit of obedience. As I had to do it, he said, "Every time you think of them, pray that." You ever try not to think of somebody? I was praying that 10, 12 times a day, maybe more than that. And it didn't take very long. My heart began to change just a little bit. I started noticing, well, I guess I don't want anybody really to go to hell. Okay, I guess you can let them live. And okay, go ahead and get them saved even. Okay, bless them. But it continued because I kept doing it. You just obey. They turned out, they live 3 blocks from us now, have for a long time. Very close friends. When my mama was still alive, if I was out of town for anything, if something goes wrong, they're the ones that goes fix it. These same people that I wanted to kill and die. Amazing when you obey the Lord. But now say this with me. Say, "I am a mature Christian. I cast down every imagination. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I do what he says." 1 John 4, 4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Let's say it with me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than any devil, any temptation, any fear, any threat. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Let's add one more to that concerning the angels. There be more with me than be with them. Hallelujah. Luke 10:19. "Behold, I give unto..." Now, I love the King James, but they didn't do us a favor with this verse. They translated two different Greek words as the word power. One of them is authority and the other one's power. I'm going to use it. I want to say it the way that it should. "Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, now get this, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, we got to grow up to this. I have authority over all the power of the enemy. The enemy has no power that I don't have authority over. The devils are subject to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing the devil has can hurt me. Was Gene Kreiner afraid of that devil? I don't think Gene Kreiner was afraid of the devil. Do you ever think about it? We so often, and I know I'm running over 2 minutes. Now, any of you that are okay with that, promise to fill up your car for your drive home. I'm just saying. Just see Bronk after the service and he'll tell you what station to go to and we'll top everything off, you know. For those of you that flew here, you can get a certified check. Teasing, okay, teasing. This is the last one. Revelations 12 and verse 11. And this is all Bronk. I'm just stealing his stuff, you know. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For years I misquoted it and I ended it right there. And that's not good enough. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We understand that. By the word of their testimony. Can you stay silent and have that active in your life? The word of their testimony. You testify by speaking. And, here's the last part. They love not their lives unto the death. We will not bow. We will not bow. See, the worst that can happen, if it could happen, the worst that could happen is they kill you. And Paul said, to depart and be with Christ is far better. I'm the one choosing to stay here because I have the mind of Christ. To me, as far as I'm concerned, to live is Christ. And it's better for you that I live. But if I had my way, I'd just soon get out of here and go be with Him. He did not love His life unto the death. But He was willing to stay here for your sake. And when the time did come, He would said, I'm ready to be offered. I am ready to be offered as a sacrifice. Hallelujah. I'm over my time. Father, I just thank You. I thank You for everyone here. I thank You for everyone that's online. Father, seal this by Your Holy Spirit, not only in this room, everyone that's connected, everyone that will see this in the future. Your anointing, You're not bound by time, and Your anointing is not bound by distance or technology. Father, the same message, the same touch that You're doing here tonight, do in every single home. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Father, we thank You that You are growing us up into this next season of warfare, that we will co-labor with You so that the Father's will can be done in the earth through these earthen vessels. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Let the works of the Father be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Praise God. I'm enjoying feasting at the table of the Lord. Don't know about you. All right. Everybody go ahead and stand.
No, I'm sitting. Oh. I've been standing, okay?
Gary can sit. Everybody else? I turn to somebody and say, I'll see you in the morning. All righty. Good night.